Heavenly Father, I thank you, the great and mighty God, the God who is high, though yet you look down upon us, the sons of men. Father, as I go into your word this morning, I humble myself. I strip myself of every confidence I might yet have in my own knowledge or ability, or my own proud knowledge or preparation. I place all of my confidence in your mercies, knowing that it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but to whom you show mercy. Father, you show me mercy for your people's sake today. So I will speak as an oracle of God beyond my preparation. That Lord, I duck under covering of ourselves, spiritual fathers, you cause the world to go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work in our hearts and lives. Cause us to be all conformed to the image of our Lord. Cause our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened with revelation as what goes forth. Our emotions further controlled by the power of fruit of the Spirit. Help me to redeem time of the settings are necessary. Lord, Holy Spirit, I yield my faculties unto you. Come and have a way. Come and glorify the name of Jesus. Come and testify of him as we go into the world this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been in this book of 2 Timothy for quite some time now. And let's do a brief recap. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read from verses 9 to 13. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 9. Like last time, we spent quite some time talking about Demas. You know, and when Paul began to tell his son Timothy, let's read briefly. Say, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Next verse. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Next verse. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for ministry. Next verse. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Next verse. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Next verse. Next verse, please. Okay, fine. Let's start there. So in our last lesson, we were talking about, this is the last chapter of this book. And Paul took time, as his custom is, to begin to acknowledge, to honor, and to thank those that God has brought his way in ministry. And he began to record, not in detail, but at least for us to know, those that were faithful and those that were not faithful. And he spoke about Demas. And last time I said that the issue was not going to Thessalonica. The issue was that Demas departed from Paul because of the world's sake. That's what Paul said. He said, Demas has forsaken me, for his love is present to him. And we define the word, as Pastor has taught us, in the book of 1 John chapter 2. He says that love not the world, or the things that are in the world, for the things that are the love, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are not of the world, are not of the Father, but of the world. That is the reason, the motivation why Demas left Paul at this critical hour is because of these forces, you see. And I said that don't let us be quick to judge or to blame Demas. If we do not take time to pray and to release spiritual forces in sufficient measure, these forces of the world, the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, the pride of life, can move any Christian out of divine purpose and destiny. It will not move us in Jesus' name. And I said that was the reason why I now said Timothy should come quickly unto him. That meaning that Demas occupied a very close position, a key position in Paul's ministry. For him to call Timothy to come and replace, he said, do thy diligence to come unto me quickly. And I said, for, meaning why? Demas has forsaken me. Now, take some time. After I finished last time, God brought my mind to a book that Apostle shared with us many years ago called, I wrote it down here, God's Faithful Armor Bearer by Terry Nance. Pastor shared with us many years ago about this call for faithful armor bearers. You see, God calls a man. He gives that man a vision. He now calls other people to join him, to support him. Because, you see, one man cannot do that work. And, you see, when he calls those people, many times it's not as if their motives are pure. They are not totally pure. But, see, by reason of time, as we begin to walk with the leader, we begin to imbibe the spirit of the leader. In fact, Pastor showed us a film at that time, years ago, Catching the Spirit of Leader by Rick Godwin, if I remember correctly. And they begin to imbibe that spirit. They begin to get the vision. That's why you see, even in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he called the 12 disciples, they did not fully understand why, but their hearts were honest. So after a period of time, we now say, who do men say that I am? that it was checking them out. Ah, by this time, you now know the purpose. You have left those things behind. Are you following me? So it's the same thing. And this is how God does the thing that he does. He will call one leader, one person. And say, I've set a man over the congregation. And they will now send people. He will put into their hearts. And that's what he did in the Old Testament. Open your Bible to the book of Numbers chapter 18, verse 6. God gave the Levites to Moses. See, was it possible for Moses to kill the animals, to set up the tabernacle? No. He said, I've given you the Levites. Numbers chapter 18, verse 6. And I say, and I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel to you. They are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle and of the congregation. Same thing with David. After Saul died, the Bible said they are coming to him in droves, different people. And if you look at their CV, many of them had their own gifts, callings, talents, and everything. Like, that's why you read the Bible, the story of sons of Issachar. Said these ones were men. But you see, in spite of those individual talents that they had, they recognized that David was the person that God had chosen. And they knew that there was no way they would take the kingdom except they joined forces with David, I follow him, to take the kingdom. So everybody, they laid down all their talents, whatever they could do. There are some of them, if you are the mighty men of David, they once slew a lion in a snowy pit. Some could use the sling with the left hand without missing. They had those things. So the same thing God does. Why? Because God calls a man. Say, God calls one man. And now calls other people. That's why I will say, look up, as I say, I will give men for you and people for your life. So you know why? So the man of God will not be run up and down, trying to do everything. That's why Peter said in the book of Acts, he said, it is not me for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. So he calls them, and they serve, and they help him. But he said, I put in my note here, he said, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in a steward that the man be found faithful. You see, God will account it unto you, no matter where you find yourself, where God has called you, to serve the man of God, to serve the woman of God. The same reward that God gives the man of God for standing behind the pulpit. Bible says that the book of just comes to me now in Proverbs talks about a faithful servant. He said he brings refreshing to his masters, so that he can free them, that he can do the work God has given unto them without any distraction. Are you all with me? And you see, I from experience, the experience I have in this house, you see, you may find yourself at different positions. But you see, the most important thing you need to get, make sure you get the vision of that set man. Because I'm not just talking to us here today. You see, because if you run without the vision, after some time, it's very easy for you to drop the baton when the going gets tough. That's what happened to Demas. That's what happened to people like Judas. And it is not so much where you find yourself. The first thing you must know, God has called you to this ministry or the ministry of a set man you are serving in whatever way. That's why Paul began to talk about this man, Erastus, Eubulus, you know, Crispus. This one has my cloak. You see, if you look at it in present day, these are people that will bring the man of God to church. Are you following me? This one will take the clothes to dry cleaner. They look like many things. But you see, God counted them worthy. And Paul honored them in scripture for eternity. I've got to put their names there. Are you following me? We didn't read anything. Eubulus raised the dead. No. But they served the man of God. They brought refreshing to the man of God. So Paul could do. Case in point. When they were going to kill Paul in Damascus, it was some brethren that put him in a basket and passed him out to the wall. What if they had dropped him? It doesn't look like something like public ministry. But if they have dropped him, that would have gone the end of over for the New Testament. Whoever you find yourself, whether you are in the choir, whether you are in the daycare, whether you are washing the toilet, whatever you are doing, God is taking note of it. As just like recorded names of these people in scripture, it's recorded also in heaven. Praise the Lord. I give an example. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 23, in the Amplified Bible. You see, because at times, many people like to be seen in what we do. We want people to see you. Are we there? What does it say? This is talking about some people that were living in the bush. It says, these were the potters. Let's look at that. These were the potters. And those who lived among what? Plantations. They were not living inside in New Bodija. Are you following me? And edges, as Netham and Gedara, they live there with the king for his work. And God put it in the scripture. Meanwhile, Demas probably must have been sharing the gospel. So how we ended? We'll not end like Demas in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So he said Timothy should come to him. I want to mention, talk about Timothy today, because this book was actually named after this man. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, Amplified Bible. Contrast Demas to and Timothy. Because Paul was calling for Timothy to come and replace Demas. Like I said, Demas was very close to Paul. That said, Demas has forsaken him. He said, come quickly. It's like somebody said some years ago, I think it was Brabanks. He said that when you look at the picture of Jesus Christ at the Lord's Supper, and they will go and put Judas at the far end, then you easily know his beard is like this, and his eyes like, no. He said, for him to reach out and give the soft to him, he must have been next to him. So what are we saying? Look at what he said about Timothy. He said, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send what? Timothy to you soon, so that I may also be encouraged by learning news about you. Next verse. For I have no one else like him, who is so kindred a spirit, who will be genuinely concerned for your spiritual welfare. Next verse. For the others who deserted me after my arrest, all seek to advance their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Next verse. But you know of Timothy's tested worth and his proven character, that he has served with me to advance the gospel like a son serving with his father. That's how we should serve. Next verse. Therefore, I hope that if it is will, to send him immediately, just as soon as I see how my case turns out. You see, when things get tough, people take to their heels. These things began to happen when Paul was arrested. And it should not be so. We'll see how we can escape it. You see, don't blame those that forsook Paul. We're going to see later on. He said that all are forsaking me. Not just Demas. The same thing happened to Lord Jesus Christ. When they saw beating, everybody took their heels. But as a way of escape, because God wants to be faithful to the end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Other person I'd like to mention, also mention Titus. God sent people to Paul. And in running with the vision, they fulfilled their own ministry and purpose. Lord Jesus, I said some book of Luke. He said, he that is unjust in little shall be unjust in that which. Say, if you have not been faithful in that which another man, who shall give you your own? A lot of people want to just begin their own ministry or do whatever God has called, which is not wrong. But you find that most times your own dream is fulfilled in the work as you work out the dream of other people. Praise the Lord. So let's see. So today let's start from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 to 18. Talking about this man called Alexander the Coppersmith. See, Alexander the Coppersmith, let's go. Alexander the Coppersmith did me much evil. Did Lord reward him according to his works? What a prayer. Next verse. Of whom be thou aware also, for he had greatly withstood our words. Next verse. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You see, I have to remember their sins. You see, each time things like this happen, either in ministry, God expects us to stand. You are not just standing with the man of God. You are standing for truth. God, the contest there is against the word of God. So see, each time you depart or you run or you deny him, he said, if any man denies me, I will deny him. So Paul had to pray for them. Why would he pray for them that God should forgive them? He had remitted their sins. Why? Because you see, those things will stand against people on the day of judgment. That's why I said, I pray that God will not lead to their charge. Same thing with Stephen. See, this is for two purposes. One, so that I will not stand against them in the day of judgment. And then number two, some of them may be there that God will still bring in like he did for Paul when they stoned Stephen. Stephen did the same thing. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's why we have to grow in love. Are you all with me? Next verse. Verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Next verse, I believe. And the Lord shall deliver me. Say, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to me glory forever and ever. Amen. So what are we saying today? You see, here we see this guy called Alexander the Coppersmith. You see, I did some study, and most people that wrote on this said that it is not likely the same Alexander you see in the book of Acts. Are you following me? Or even the Alexander you see in the book of 2 Timothy that Paul said he delivered. It could be any. But see, the most important thing is this. Alexander the Coppersmith did Paul much evil. Are you following me? Much evil. That's why Paul said Alexander the Coppersmith. So you don't, like the Bible says, Judas Iscariot. So that you don't mistake him for another Judas. And that, so we don't want to make a mistake. That's why Paul said Alexander the Coppersmith. The Alexander I'm talking about is the one that is a coppersmith. He said, he did me what? Much evil. And he said a simple prayer. Say, Lord, will reward him. So what are we saying? You see, as servants of God, you must learn to avoid strife. Especially when it comes to the things of the Spirit, the Word of God. You see, you hear over the years, I've been here for quite some time, people say groaning is of the devil. This life and past scripture, so and so's doctrine. And they blaspheme. They can say all kinds of things. See, we are not called to fight them. At the end of the day, what we are saying will either stand for them or against them. Are you all with me? Jesus Christ said something. He said, if you say anything against the Father, he will forgive you. Against the Lord Jesus, he said, but against the Holy Spirit, he said, you are playing with eternal fire. So things that you do not understand, it's important for you to keep your big mouth shut. I'm not talking to us in this house. So you don't play with your destiny or cut your life short. It's dangerous ground to be. Is that, you know, that's why if you read, it's not in my notes, if you read the book of Luke, when he was talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, he said they came to him and said he was casting out devils by Beelzebub. And then he began to tell them, he said, by whom do your own children cast them out? It was in that context that he quoted what I quoted. When he now began to talk about the Holy Spirit, that if you ask your father, he said, he will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So it's dangerous ground to be. And we need to avoid it. What you don't understand, keep your mouth shut. Are you following me? Pray for yourself and pray for the person. So you don't begin to call what God is doing the devil. Praise the Lord. So let's go to John chapter 12, verse 48. What does it say? Just as I was talking, say, he that rejected me and received not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. That's what Paul did. Paul said, this guy, Alexander the Coppersmith, he said, the word will reward him on that day. That is, I'm not going to fight with him. In fact, the second book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, 23, he said, avoid foolish and vain words. He said, because they do gender strifes. He said, the servant of Lord must not strive, but must be apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves. He said, let it be, I'm paraphrasing now, that they recover themselves out of a snare. They were taken captive by him at this way. Folks, you don't need to argue whether going is of God or not. It's not. You don't need to argue. Time will tell. Life and past of time will tell. We're in the end time. God is up of his. I'm not saying to condemn anybody. There are some people that don't genuinely know. But there are some people like Alexander the Coppersmith that Satan has raised up. And they are withstanding. Satan is using them and they know. Out of envy and strife. And they are coming against the word of God. Because you know why? That is why God has to bring severe judgment into the body of Christ. Their two thoughts shall be cut off and die. Why? The Bible says, smite the shepherd and I will scatter the sheep. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because until Saul is removed, David cannot be exalted. And the kingdom cannot be established. You see, because they are keeping people, God's children, in bondage to spiritual immaturity. So, and the person that is preaching the truth of the word of God, this going just keeps coming to my heart. It's not in my nose. He said, my literature of whom I travel in bad, until Christ be formed. So if you don't travel, you cannot be conformed to the image. So that's why they remove that aspect. Once it is not there, a vital nutrient in your spiritual life has been removed. And there is no way you can be like Lord Jesus Christ. Because it takes you from little child to maturity. I shared some time ago. This is where God spoke to me years ago. He said, my little children, that's why you start from baby to little child. Often my traveling in bath until Christ, that means there's a process. That travel is going to take from baby to little child to young man to father. Without travel, you are not going anywhere. So you see, they fight it. But I trust that God will have mercy upon them. So we don't have to wait the day of judgment. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? That's what Jesus Christ said. So Romans chapter 12 verse 9 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but I give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. That is, Paul did, he's telling us what to do. He said, don't fight them. I already quoted the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is what we stand against them in the day of judgment. You don't believe? No problem. Let's keep going. And you find out that some of these things will begin to manifest here in this lifetime. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 10 says, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. You see, he's not talking to outsiders. He's talking to wicked men in the body of Christ. Those that cast instructions behind them. Those that want to keep God's people in bondage. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He said, you preach tithes of mint, anise, and cumin. He said, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. He said, this you ought to have done and not left the other undone. You know what I said? He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He was talking here to leadership. People like Alexander the Coppersmith, they understood the truth. But in order to either for gain or for ministry, they omit those weightier things that will enable God's people to grow. And I dare say that is why most of the persecution that has come to this body, this local body, has come. Folks, I was here back in the 90s, early 90s. Churches would be full. Churches would be full. When pastors started preaching the prophetic message, my God, then people started leaving one by one. One by one. In those days, you come for a prophetic conference or a convention. You know, Pastor Mommy, they fed folks. I thank God for them. Because where I keep saying it, I've not been to any other church. In terms of, I'm not talking about visiting other churches. I mean staying there, you know, like being fed, apart from this church from day one. People ask me and say, how come you know these things? I've sat under them night and day. Convention days will come in those days. In the midst of what we're doing, this is where I started. We carry the minister around, go and fetch water, take this one to this place, take that one to this place, go and pick one at the airport, come back, drive myself, pass around to some other people I can't mention. After each convention, everybody goes home, we are tired. I'm telling you the key. You find yourself in that position. Don't let go division. No. Me and Pastor Andrew, those days, we'll finish convention. Then we'll go back home, maybe on a Sunday, after you've been driving up and down, tired. I'm talking about tired. All my money then, before the tapes came out, I paid for them. Because I understood that once you lose that, you lost everything. Me and Pastor Andrew, if you remember Pastor Andrew, last day we come back, I remember one day, we'll go back to go and pray all night into Monday. And then we'll pray and pray. As one particular time we went to pray, have a conversion. We didn't know what to pray for. We didn't know we said, God, we want this thing. But we don't even know what to pray for. You know, when Papa Rav will divide the water, you know, so God, we don't even know the prayer point to pray. We are almost crying. Yes, you remember, in my where I was staying. Then we'll pray all night. We'll pray, God, we want this thing. God, we want this thing. We'll pray. Then we'll come on. That's how to stay on course. That's how to stay on course. Don't leave the vision for the work. That's how you stay on course. You see, because if you don't do that, you see examples like Joshua in the Bible. He said, when the man of God had gone back, the man will stay there. He wants to lose that. Folks, I don't want to give any example. But I know we stand by the mercy of God. But I know how many of us we are doing this thing. I know. I'm not saying it to brag that I'm standing. We all stand by God's mercy. But I'm telling you that, you see, as pastor will dish out the word, Papa will preach it. People will prepare. Pastor will now break it down. to what it actually means. It will divide. You know, Paparaf will tell us the prophetic message. Pastor will take that message and will break it down to what you need to do like a consultant. Do this one today, tomorrow, do this one. That is what I held on to. So when I'm driving, looking for this Lord around the bottom, all the way to Express Road, driving, I'll be taking my confession. Now, Pastor, people say, how about that idiotic body? Why do you need this? Many of them are not here today. I'm not saying to despise them, but I'm just telling you, it is by mercy and grace. Are you following me? But it is also by doing what you have been told to do in this ministry you are called to do. So it's not that you leave it and say, oh, mercy will cover us. We are working for the man of God. You don't know pastor. You don't know pastor. You go to pastor to go and pick in the morning. He will say, have you prayed? He will look at you like this. What are you doing? You're wondering, I said, I came to pick you, sir. He said, have you prayed? You don't understand. Because why? That is what is going to enable you to stand when I has run away. Enough of that said. So Paul said, all forsook me. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16 says, the first time in New Living Translation, said the first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May not be counted against them. I said, remitted their sins. Why? I said, why they have to? You just had the same thing happen. The book of Gethsemane. They were all following. This is the key. This is the key why you not forsake. Why the robber? This is the key. This is the key, folks. Listen, this is the key. It is not the running up and down. It is not the going to be paparazzi in the stadium at the airport and bring. That's not the key. The key is this. Pray. So in Gethsemane, he separated them. He said, I think it was eight of them or so. He said, eight. He said, don't worry about praying. Those ones, you don't know. They are spiritual. They were younger spiritually than Peter, James, and John. So he said, don't worry. Mercy will cover you. Just stay there. You know, calls Peter, James, and John. He said, Peter, he said, ask Satan as desire to sift you like wheat. He said, but I've prayed for you. That is the key, folks. That is the key when you are serving the man of God in ministry. That is how you catch the spirit of the leader. He's doing the physical activity. He's doing the physical activity with one hand on your sword and the other hand building, like a din type of Nehemiah. And Satan will fight it. He will try and deceive you. He will try and tell that it doesn't matter. So, Peter, James, and John, he said, watch it therefore and pray with me. So, they did not pray. That's why they denied him. They were not meant to deny him. Because there is no spiritual power. He wanted them to stand with him. It would have been in their record that when the robber hit the road, these three guys, they stood. But why couldn't they stand? It's the same reason why you will not stand if you don't pray enough. I said the other day, Gethsemane was not Jesus' morning prayer. Listen to me. It was not his morning prayer. You see, he was going because of the day. Then he picked it that something is about to happen. Then he said, I need to go and pray now. That's what you're watching and praying does. Don't say Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John also, it was their morning prayer. Was it their morning prayer? No. No. This is what came to them as they watched and prayed. Say, okay, this is about to. That's how you find out that at Gethsemane, immediately he finished the prayer. He said, sleep on. Bob says, go and read it immediately. If he had delayed 1 hour, he would not have been able to go to the cross. If he had delayed 1 hour, or he got angry and offended with them, I told you to pray, and you not pray. After all these years, I've been laboring for you. They would have slapped him. He would have slapped his own back. Yeah, so it takes spiritual power to walk in love. No, I correctly lost that quality. It takes sufficient spiritual power to walk in love. Tithes and offering. Tithes and offering. 2.5 hours. Fine. Then you build on it. Don't say, I've done it. I'm okay. No, you are not okay. That's what saved that day. Oh, yes, when Peter caught the air, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. No. But he quickly healed that person. If you are aware, that's how they felt. If they fled, they said, when they say, all forsook him. In Mark chapter 14, verse 50, say, and they all forsook him and fled. Verse 51 says, and there followed him a certain young man. Say, a certain young man. Having a linen cloth, speaks of his righteousness, born again, cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen clothes and fled from them naked. He said, I'm not my Christian again. That's, I mean, in types and shadows. Your linen speaks of a righteousness, your right standing. The man ran away. Not because he wanted to run away, but these are spiritual forces, folks. And you cannot get it by walking. Physical work will not do it. We do physical work. But as you are doing it, you are praying in tongues. Building up yourself in my apostle faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Why did they run away? They ran away because of the fear of death. Say fear of death. The Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. So you see why God has given us room to develop and to perfect the love of God. Ask me why, folks. Like Pastor said, don't be afraid, but it's coming. There is coming ahead of us, the persecution of the church. Universal persecution is coming. Once the glory manifests, and begin to do signs and wonders, starting from the church, your brethren, who don't manifest the glory, they begin to pinpoint you. Persecution, serious persecution. But we don't need to be afraid, because their God has given us enough time to perfect the love of God. So like John, there's nothing they can do. Just be able to walk in between, like Jesus Christ. How much remember, Jesus Christ is our pattern, is our goal. And following me, though they stoned Stephen, it's not the pattern to follow. The pattern is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following me? They said they pushed him to the brow of the hill to push him down. Mind you, he had never experienced that kind of temptation before. So while they were pushing him, must have been asking, Lord, have mercy on me. You will have forgiven them their sins. You see, when they are beating you, you have to forgive them as they are slapping. Lord, have mercy on them. Or else that thing will hold you captive, like he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then you're not able to bind the devil. Because in that short period of time, you have harbored unforgiveness. So you need to forgive, like Pasquale was sharing the other day. Before you go out in the day, the Bible says Jesus Christ was a lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. So before you go out, I forgive you. I just determine. It's something you determine to do before you go out. So as it's happening, just act it out. Are you all with me? Say, perfect love casteth out fear. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Lord Jesus Christ said something. Say, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 30 says, the very air of your head is numbered. That is, God has insured your hair. That not one can fall is insured. I got mad to say. So God is saying, chill. Say, chill. Don't be afraid. Say, I still have time, enough time to perfect the love of God. So I'll not be afraid of fear or of death. That is the last thing we need to overcome. Say, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Folks, don't be afraid. Say, don't be afraid. We are under covering. So we are not going to go out before our time or go where God has not sent you. It's very important too, what I just said. So that covering gives you the room to perfect the love of God amongst the brethren. So you start from your house in the morning. By the time you perfect love of God in your house, your wife offends you, forgive her. You just forgive her. She's wondering, ah, honey, ATM, be no one be to tell her, ah, no, understand. I love you, Nia. I love you. Yes, charity begins at home. Love begins at home. Charity begins at home. So you start in the morning, ah, honey, I love you, Nia. I love you. Yes. If you are not able to walk in love with your wife, then how can you walk in love with your people? It's not possible. It's not possible. So that's why you see, and God knows that you cannot divorce her. So you are stuck. Say, I'm stuck. It does not apply to you that are not married, though. You are yet to be stuck. So don't be in a hurry to get married. If you are ready to perfect love of God, then go and marry. Then you say, nobody will beg you. When you get out to pray and you cannot pray, and God quotes 1 Peter chapter 3 for you, he says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Say, let your prayers be hindered. Then big collectors are knocking on the door. You are banging on your prayer 7 feet. Nothing has come. Then God says, no, that is not the problem. You have to go and apologize to her. But God, why should I apologize to her? You just have to. Are you ready to get the money? Yes, sir. Okay, honey, you not only apologize, you also cook a meal for you. Take her out. Did the Bible say we should go the extra mile? Brethren, men, go the extra mile. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? So Paul now in verse 17, he took advantage of that situation to preach the gospel. When they presented him before the judge, he said something. Let's read verse 17. What did he say? Verse 17. He said, at my trial, please put it on the board. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Are we there? He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and was delivered out of the mouth of lions. You see, church history says that, okay, Nero was throwing them to lions. When I was studying, preparing, some said the lion here wasn't really, either it is or not, it's but said that it was using the lion like a metaphor to represent Nero. Like Jesus Christ said, go tell that fox. Are you following me? So it was delivered out of the mouth of lions. That is, they were going to kill him. But you see, he saw that same, so to speak, situation as an advantage and opportunity for him to preach to more people. Not to recant and say, I'm not doing it again. And you see many examples in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told themselves, O king, we're not careful to answer you on this issue. Even if our God, he said, we trust that God will deliver us. But peradventure, he chooses not to, we still will not bow. That makes God so joyful. That is what glorifies God. Not when you rejoice when you got a contract. That's what glorifies God. When you can start, you know, he said, if we deny him, he will deny you. He said, begin to, that's why we need to begin to see more, have a revelation of the hope of the glory and the hope of the resurrection. As you can see, something that is beyond what is going on. And folks, it's not as if, what I'm saying, it's not as if it's something you can, it's good to determine to do it. But it's going to take spiritual power. Looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, he could not go to, always remember, he could not go to Gethsemane until he had prayed 3 hours of prayer, which was not his morning prayer. Always remember. That means he must have prayed at least 4 hours that day. Are you all with me? So, what if he had prayed 1 hour and he got into strife with his boys? He would not have been able to go. You know, the thoughts were coming to him. He looked at his arsenal and said, don't you think I have 12 legions of angels? He could have called them. Elisha didn't have to die because it was the Old Testament. The little he had, he destroyed 42 children. And he missed God. But he said, no. That's why love comes. He said, love of Christ constrains us. That thing constrained him. No, you can't do this. He said, you can't do this. Because these are the same people you came to die for. So why do you want to kill them? Give them another chance. So Bible said on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. But they know not what they do. Actually, they did not know. They thought they knew. They did not know. So he gave the high priest another chance. He gave Marcus, that guy that they caught, he said, another chance. He gave all the other guys, the scribes and Pharisees, laughing at him, another chance. Always give people another chance by forgiving them and remitting their sins. So what are we saying? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5b. It says, for he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I put in my notes while meditating briefly. That's why we need to pray for boldness. We need to pray for boldness. And boldness is tied to your prayer life. You see, if you want to be bold to declare the gospel of God, or to be bold to stand for Jesus Christ, you have to pray a lot. If you don't pray enough, you cannot be bold. So I put in my notes, I said, because of the coming persecution, boldness is going to be a key thing for this end time church. Like you see in Acts of Apostles, when the revival broke out. That's why each time something happened, they will go and pray. Because it's not the same people that were afraid. You see, when they beat Paul and Silas, they prayed. When they prayed, boldness came back. You need to be bold in the face of death. And say, oh king, we're not careful to answer. You know why? Because if you don't stand for truth, there are people that are hanging on to you. So if you buckle under, don't say, oh, it's true. That maybe that thing about growing is not really possible. It's not true. Professional, but then you just by your singular act, you can lead men away from Christ. That's why Paul he told Peter, he said, I withstood him to the face. Because the life of Galatians were hanging in the balance. He said, if you are living like the manner of we are standing for truth, folks. The Bible says that God himself, he has magnified his word above his name. When Christ was on the cross and said, my father, why is that forsaken me? He didn't answer him. He just turned his back. No. We are talking about purpose here. Even though you are my beloved son, you have to go to the cross. What if you are turned back? So what are we saying? Let's look at these examples before we close. I said we need to pray for boldness. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 31. And now the Lord, when they threatened them, say, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant to thy servants that with all boldness, say, all boldness, they may speak the words by stretching forth thy hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had what? Prayed. The place was what? Shaking. Where they were assembled together. And they were what? All filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with all boldness. Ephesians 3:12. Say, we have boldness in him. So Paul in verse 18 now begins to reaffirm his faith that God is going to deliver him from every evil work. Put it there. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. He began to say that the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever. That is, in the midst of persecution and affliction, don't give up your faith. Keep trusting God that is going to deliver you. You see, because when you say it is the end, that may be the end. That is, in spite of, you must keep on, you don't change your confession. But I say, why is we looking at the things that we see, but things that are not seen? But things that are seen are temporal. The fiery furnace. But things that are not seen, you see, when they were going to the furnace of fire, they didn't see a fourth man before they entered. They could feel the heat, like other people that kind of could feel the heat. But when they threw them inside, the Bible said the fourth man appeared. And the only things that were removed were all their things that, shackles that held them bound. The fourth man will appear for you in your fire of affliction. We have to go through it. But God will deliver us. Verse 19 began to thank Aquila and Priscilla. You know about this people. These are a set of people again that, you see, when Bible says, when the emperor said that the Jews should leave Rome, then they left Rome and came to Corinth. They could have been disappointed, said, they've told us now, all that have traveled out to December. God was actually helping them to feed their destiny. Paul was waiting there for them. What if they had stayed in Rome? They would not have met Paul. I don't know, fulfilled their destiny. Then he talks about Onesimus. His name brings bringing profit. He said, he refreshed me. Say, the Lord give mercy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 to 19. He said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For you often refresh me. We are talking about serving the man of God. So you often refresh me. I was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest well. Verse 20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Verse 21, say again, do thy diligence to come before winter. And said the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 22, be with thy spirit, grace be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. What are we saying? Wherever you find yourself in ministry, be faithful. Why? Just as God recorded everything we have read today, is recording everything you are doing. Everything is being recorded. So when they call Paul and he walks before Christ at the mercy of Christ, they're going to call Timothy. They're going to call Titus, Erastus, Linus, Claudia, names that they were just mentioned. This one greets you. So and so. Why? Maybe all he did was he gave the man of God a cup of water. So that, because without them, Paul could not have done what he has done. Praise the Lord. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is our strength and Christ our right. Lay hold on life and it shall. stanza.
Fail on the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek His face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path and Christ the
The last stanza of us four because of time.
Faith not nothing, His arms are near. He changed not, and thou art here. Only believe, and thou shalt see. That Christ is all in all to thee.
Only believe and thou shalt see.
Only believe and thou shalt see. That Christ is all in all to
Let's respond to the Lord by raising one hand to heaven and the other hand to our hearts. If you are weary and heavy laden, it's time to ask God for mercy. Mercy to continue to stand in your place. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Say, Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace to enable me to be faithful to you and to your word, to be faithful to those you have set in authority over me, and to the vision of the house is part of persecution and affliction. To enable me by your mercy and grace to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as I know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's now pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you are here, you need healing. God wants to heal you. He has promised, he said, that if we ask, we shall be given. We shall seek and we shall find. So if you have a need concerning healing, or even if it be strength to be able to stand in your place, ask the Lord now as I pray. The Bible says that whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Like Paul, Lord God, I remit everyone sin under the covering of the Father of the house, including myself standing here today. Lord, I remit our sins, receive forgiveness, a cleansing, and a purging of our conscience from dead works to serve you, the living God. Father, the Bible says that you sent your word and you healed them. I deliver them for their destruction. Father, on that cross, I sent forth your healing word. The Bible says that you forgive all our iniquities. You heal all our diseases. I receive healing for everyone I have gathered today. Healing of every sickness or disease or even weariness, Lord God. I pray for the refreshing, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. As we continue to run this race, we will not be weary. As we walk, we will not faint. Thank you, Father, for doing much more than we can ask or can think. According to the power that has been at work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.